Good morning. How is everyone? Praise the Lord. It's great to see you. You know, we had our prayer Sunday a couple weeks back. And if you recall, we all chose a half hour that we would pray. And during that half hour, I chose to pray for each one of you. I've been up here and on stage, and I can see where everybody sits, and in my mind, I could think of everybody. And I prayed for each one of you for that half hour, and I realized how much you mean to me personally as our church family, and how much you mean to the church, and how you're very missed when you're not here. So thank you for being here. You're loved by all of us.
You have a pretty good memory if you remember all of us.
I know. I can picture you. I close my eyes. Let's pray as we look to God's Word. Father God, we thank you for this time this morning, time together with the family of God, time worshiping you, and time in your Word, Lord. I ask, Father, that just as we have used our words to cry out to you and to worship you, that now that you would use your word to speak to us this morning, show us how you moved in the life of Jacob, Lord, and how we can see you moving in our lives. Speak to us, guide us, reveal yourself to us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one thing I love about Scripture is it gives an honest view of the strengths and the weaknesses of the people in Scripture, their victories and their failures. We see Moses leading the Israelites out of the Egyptian captivity and all the amazing things that he did. But Scripture also reveals his weaknesses. At times he's unsure, unconfident, angry. King David taking down Goliath and the way he handled King Saul, and that he was called a man after God's own heart. Yet it also tells how he was an adulterer and a murderer, and shows how God can use the life of any one of us when we yield ourselves to him. And as we've been looking at the life of Jacob over the last couple of weeks, we realize that he fits right in with these characters in Scripture. Jacob is scheming, deceptive, and will stop at nothing to get what he wants. In this point, we see how Jacob has had three rounds in his battles with his brother Esau. In Genesis 25:26, Jacob came into the world hanging on to Esau's heel, battling for pole position to be firstborn. When that didn't work in Genesis 25:29, he convinces Esau to sell his birthright for a bowl of soup. And last week we saw Jacob, with the help of his mother, take the blessing that Esau felt belonged to him, which leads to Esau threatening to kill Jacob. So today our story picks up in chapter 28. And chapter 28 says, "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and directed him, 'You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham.' Thus Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother." Isaac sends Jacob away. His brother wants to kill him. His mother doesn't want him marrying any of the women from the neighborhood. So Jacob sends him far away, and although Jacob already took his brother's blessing, here Isaac blesses Jacob. Isaac had likely always expected to pass down the Abrahamic blessing to his oldest son, but he had to be tricked into passing it down to Jacob. And here Isaac has finally come to a point where he recognizes and accepts God's call on Jacob's life. He blesses Jacob, hoping and praying that he would receive the promises of God. And what a great example of our hope for our children. I pray that my children and my grandchildren would be blessed and live their lives seeking and receiving the promises of God. That we, like Isaac, as we grow old, we hope and pray the blessings of God on them, that they would receive even more of God's blessing than we have, that they would grow to know God and to walk with Him, that they would experience the fullness of the promises of God's in their life, of God in their lives. And so Isaac blesses Jacob and sends him off to his uncle Laban to find a wife. Let's move on. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and he sent him away to Padan Aram to take a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he directed him, "You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and gone to Padan Aram. So when Esau saw the Canaanite women did not please Isaac, his father, Esau went to Ishmael and took as his wife, besides the wives he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. So Esau realizes that his situation leaves him in a mess. His parents disapprove of his wives. He's lost God's blessings and promises that passed from Abraham down to Isaac and now to his brother Jacob. So Esau tries to make things right by his parents by marrying an Ishmaelite woman. And so he turns to Abraham's other son, Ishmael, the son of Sarah's maidservant Hagar. And if you recall in Genesis 17, Abraham prays for Ishmael, saying, "And Abraham said to God, 'Oh, that Ishmael might live before you.' And God said, 'No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you, and behold, I have blessed him. And I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall have 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." Esau is very much like his parents and his brother. Not only does Esau seek to marry someone from the family to keep his parents happy, but Esau grew up assuming the promises of God to Abraham would pass down from his father to him. But after having them taken from him by Jacob, Esau turns and marries into Ishmael's family that had also received blessings from God because of Abraham. And although Esau did not receive the blessing of everlasting covenant, he was still blessed for and provided for by God. We see how Esau was blessed in Deuteronomy 2. When Moses and the Israelites were out camping in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 2 says, "Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness, into the direction of the Red Sea. And as the Lord told me, and for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. Then the Lord said to me, 'You have been traveling around the mountain country long enough. Turn northward and command the people. You are about to pass through the territory of your brothers, the people of Esau, who live in Seir. They will be afraid of you, so be careful. Do not contend with them, for I will not give you any of their land, no, not so much as a sole of the foot to tread on, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall purchase food from them with money. You may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all of your work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. So we went on away from our brothers, the people of Esau who live in Seir, away from the road of Abar, from Eloth to Ezan Geber. And as we turned, we went in the direction of the wilderness of Moab. So God tells Moses that the Israelites and the Israelites, that Mount Seir belongs to Esau's descendants. If they need anything that belongs to them, they would have to pay for it. So Esau's marriage to Ishmael's daughter was not only to please his parents, but it puts him into a position to receive a portion of the Abrahamic promise, even though it was far less than the blessing he would have received through Isaac. Every member of Isaac's family behaved in a self-centered and deceptive manner. Yet God graciously overlooked their sins and blesses them based on his goodness and his faithfulness, which reminds us of God's great mercy and how in even our moments of weakness, God will still move in and around our lives to fulfill his promises and blessings to us. He is so good. Verse 10 says, Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Jacob finds himself far from home. He's alone, likely scared that maybe Esau is following close behind him, waiting to pounce. Maybe Jacob is worried that as he is leaving the land of God's promises, maybe God wouldn't be with him. Up until now, Scripture doesn't describe or display that Jacob had any personal relationship with God. But it's not Esau that's chasing Jacob. It's God. God has a plan for Jacob, but he needs to get his attention. And I know that's when God has typically gotten the attention of my life the most. In those times of feeling a little lost, times of uncertainty, in the times of distress, we tend to hear God's voice a little more clear. It's getting late, so Jacob cuddles up with a stone. He must have been traveling pretty light if the only thing he chose for a pillow was a stone. As Jacob falls asleep, Scripture says, and he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and on top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you, your offspring, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done all that I've promised you. God shows Jacob this ladder that connects the realm to heaven to the realm of earth. He shows Jacob the angels ascending and descending from the presence of God down to the presence of man. And what are angels? They're messengers of God, messengers that bring God's word to and from heaven's throne. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Jesus is described as the Word of God. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 goes on to say that the Word had become flesh and dwells among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth. Scripture not only says that Jesus is the Word of God, but it describes that he is the ladder shown in Jacob's dream. John chapter 1, 43 through 51 says, "The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city from Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Then Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit.' Nathanael said to him, 'How do you know me?' And Jesus answered, 'Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.' Nathanael answered, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' And Jesus answered him, 'Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see even greater things than these.' And he said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" Jesus is saying to Nathanael, "Do you remember Jacob's ladder?" Perhaps Nathanael was sitting under the fig tree thinking about Jacob's dream. Ultimately, Jesus is saying, "I am the ladder in Jacob's dream. I am the only means of access to God, and it is through me that you will gain access and have a relationship with God. I am the link that bridges the gap between sinful man and a holy God. All the promises of God come to us through this ladder. It is through Jesus that we gain access to the Father." Praise God. Verse 13 of Jacob's dream says, "God stood at the top of the ladder." The Holman Bible translated it saying, "Yahweh was standing there beside him, saying, 'I am God, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac.'" And I like that translation a little better. It describes God as standing right beside Jacob, whispering in his ear. And isn't that just how we hear from God? As if he's standing right beside us, whispering in our ear. And so God speaks to Jacob and he says, "I am God, the God of your fathers, and I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams." God promises to be with Jacob wherever he goes. He promises that he will never leave Jacob. And again, it's a great image of God's promises to each of us. God promises to be with us, to supply our needs, to protect us, and to comfort us, to never leave us or forsake us. Amen? Verse 16, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' As he was afraid, and he said, 'How awesome is this place! There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.' So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up on the pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you full tenth to you.'" Jacob wakes up amazed at all that God revealed to him. And he anoints this stone and changes the name of the spot from Luz to Bethel, meaning the house of God. And he says, "If this is who God is, if this is the relationship he wants with me, then I'm all in. He will be my God, and I will give him a tenth of all that I am and all that I have." There are three themes that stood out to me in Genesis 28. First, God needed to get Jacob's attention to fulfill his promise to Abraham. When God wants to use someone and move through their lives, he'll get your attention. God chased after Jacob, and he'll chase after us as well. If you're going through rough times, struggling, you may want to stop and seek God. In Amos chapter 4, God tells Israel, "I also withheld rain from you. When there were yet 3 months to the harvest, I would only send rain to one city and send no rain to another city. One field would have rain, and on the field which did not rain would wither. So 2 and 3 cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied, yet you did not return to me. I struck you with blight and mildew, your gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locusts devoured, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with sword and carried away your horses. I made a stench of your camp to go up into your nostrils, yet you did not return to me." I'm not saying that every struggle we face is from God, but I'm saying if God is trying to get our attention, we may notice it in the things going on around us. I know back in my life before I surrendered my will to God, it kind of reminds me of that Verizon commercial, hearing God say, "Can you hear me now?" Secondly, the story reminds me of how God's plan of redemption for mankind always points to the cross. Even back in Genesis, God was saying that there is only one way, one path to God, and it is through Jacob's ladder, Jesus. We may be wise to notice there wasn't several ladders in Jacob's dream. There wasn't a Buddha ladder, and a Muhammad ladder, or a Hindu yogi ladder. There is one ladder and one path to our fellowship with God, and that is through Jesus by way of the cross. Lastly is God's faithfulness. God was faithful to his promise to Abraham even before he sought out Jacob. And he's been faithful in my life, and I'm sure in your life as well. Philippians 4:19, God's faithfulness promises God meets all of our needs. He comforts us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He has plans to prosper us and to give us hope in Jeremiah 29. He will never leave us or forsake us in Deuteronomy 31. God loves us more than we can imagine. And when we wander, he will chase after us and he'll whisper in our ear. And when he finds us, he promises to never leave us and to never forsake us. And he is faithful to his word. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again so much for how you show us how faithful you are in your word, how you speak to us, Lord, and how we need to yield our lives to you, that we set aside our will and give a place in our heart and our lives for you. I pray as we go our way this week, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would show us what it is that you have for us. We just thank you so much, Lord God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.